presents Idaho Pulse with Tea Party Bob, your stethoscope on the chest of Idaho politics, and sometimes a boot. This is Idaho Talk Radio, IRDO.
Welcome to the Idaho Pulse. This is your host, Tea Party Bob, and today we have, as our guest, the president of the Idaho Freedom Foundation, Ron Nate. And it looks like we have some interesting topics for today. Discussion on Idaho's budget problems, which appear to be growing by the day. So without further delay, let's welcome Mr. Nate and get this train rolling.
Hello, Bob.
Ron. How are you?
I'm just awesome. Idaho Pulse is great, and the pulse is weakening. I don't mean your show. I mean the pulse of Idaho, because I'll just put it this way. There's a storm on the horizon, and it's not pretty. The governor has already outlined that there's some budget problems, but we're just scratching the surface here. And I'm always hesitant to talk about the budget problems that we're not going to have enough money to meet our obligations, or our obligations are exceeding the amount of collections coming in. Because you know what that means? As soon as I have that discussion, then you have legislators and the governor saying, well, it doesn't look like 2026 is a year for tax cuts, because that's the first thing they want to do, is stick it to the families and keep the agencies alive and well.
Question, we have $1 billion in the emergency fund. Why aren't they using it?
$1.3 billion, yeah. And then if we look at all the other unobligated funds, we're pushing probably $2 billion floating around in state accounts that could be used. I don't even like the idea of rainy day funds. How about that? Is that government should not be collecting money from you that it doesn't need at the moment. And if the economy struggles and the government's in a pickle, well, you know what? So are families. The government needs to be in a pickle sometimes. That's the only time you ever see them cut themselves.
Well, with 189 agencies and a constitution that says we're only supposed to have 23, I'd say we are a little overboard.
That's right. The governor's pointed out that, first of all, he said the budget hole was $80 million. Then with conformity, meaning that the tax cuts that Trump passed actually translate into Idaho tax cuts as well, because it affects adjusted gross income numbers, which are used on Idaho tax forms. It was going to compound that tax cut for Idaho, and we wouldn't have the capacity to pass that tax reduction along. And so it was really a much bigger hole. The governor's now saying it's down to $46 million of shortage. Here's the problem. It's not just, tax collections are a little bit lower than projected. This is not a temporary thing. It's not a 1 month thing. In fact, looking at national experts, the tax collection slowdown is projected to continue for fiscal year 2026 and for the next 2 years, 5 to 6%. Tax collection slowdown is what I'm seeing. Not only that, our state has been overspending for the last 6 years.
Surprise. Are you kidding me?
Right. I know. And, farmers and ranchers have this old saying, you know, it's not the difficult years that put you into trouble. It's the good years where you overcommit to things you can't sustain in the difficult years. And we've had some good years for Idaho, but the government has overcommitted, overspent, set up a budget that cannot be sustained for even the smallest of blips in tax collections. So that's been going on. The federal government cannot sustain itself. They're $38 trillion in debt, and it looks to be growing. If you're $38 trillion behind, the temptation is to print more money, but that hurts families because it leads to inflation, leads to devaluation of the dollar. they can borrow more, but that hurts families because it competes up interest rates and it obligates us to future spending we can't sustain. So the federal government is going to be doing some cost shifting. They're going to be putting states on the hook for more of Medicaid. The SNAP program is going to be covered more by states, and it's all already filled with fraud. And so as the federal government tries to fix its own self, it's going to put more of the burden on the states. Remember, that's on top of our already sketchy budgets. And so 2026, next year, budget battles are coming. There's less federal dollars, there's lower collections, and the state has committed to outrageous levels of spending. Something's got to give.
And I understand that we're going to be short by $400 million out of the Fed money next year. Is that correct?
Yeah. The Fed is cutting back by $400 million. But the agencies, you look at the agency requests that come in, you know, this past month and this month, they want 11.9% more than last year. Are they tone deaf? Are they blind? What the heck are they thinking? They each think of their own agency and they think, oh, we're just one agency. But if all agencies feel that way, the state agencies are wanting $1 billion more as the federal government is cutting back by $400 million. That is unsustainable. It is unachievable. And so it's this budget battle is coming. You know, Fred Birnbaum's article on our website, Fred Birnbaum, on IdahoFreedom.org, you can look at his article about how the budget is out of control, that Idaho officials, Idaho governor, are addicted to spending. They need to get off their addiction.
Ron, I read through that, and I tell you, that was a great piece that he did. Congratulations, and I'm just hoping more people read that stuff, because I don't think they have a clue as to what's happening in this state. I've been saying this for years. You have too. We spend too much money.
Yeah, and this isn't just a little one-month debate we're going to have in the legislature. This will be ongoing for years. And here's my fear, that the state has put themselves in this pickle. They don't have the money to sustain it. And so they are going to say, well, we might need to do some cutbacks. We might need to raise taxes. But they'll say this: this is no time for cutting taxes. And that's bogus. If you get your spending under control, if you use your rainy day funds, if you get your spending under control, you can cut spending and cut taxes at the same time and have government closer to its proper role. And that's what we're advocating at the Freedom Foundation. You can repeal the grocery tax. You can start us on the path to getting rid of the property tax altogether, a six-year phase-in, cut government and Medicaid expansion. That's $1.3 billion right there. And so you could do it all, but it requires fiscal restraint. The problem is legislators and the governor care more about what the agencies think of them than about what the people think of them, because the people oftentimes don't know.
Well, I think it's time to inform the people and let them know exactly what's going on. I also think that this may be a very opportune time, since we have an election coming up, to find somebody else to run against these bad budgeteers that we have, because they don't seem to be doing the right thing for the people.
Tea Party Bob for governor, 2026.
I've already been asked to do that. I don't have any interest. I'm just a little too old for that stuff. Kind of like Trump's age.
Yeah. So sorry to start off your program like Johnny Raincloud here about the storm coming and the fiscal cliff we have, but that is reality. And so now more than ever, our messaging is important, that we need to get government spending under control, cut taxes, cut spending, and be the conservative state that we advertise ourselves to be.
I always say, into each life, a little rain must fall. And so here we are.
Well, it's going to be a downpour. Did you know they did a No Kings rally a few months ago in Boise on the Capitol steps? Did you hear about that?
Did anybody show up?
Yeah, people showed up. Way more than you would expect. I mean, it was packed there. These woke liberals Nothing gets him more excited than going out there and having anti-Trump signs. And the bizarre thing is they say that his election, get this, they say that his election, the election electing Donald Trump, was going to lead to a destruction of our democracy. Now, how did he get into office again? He was elected into office.
Yeah, with seven states that they never thought he'd carry.
Yeah, so somehow an election, ironically, is going to defeat democracy. I don't get it. But anyway, we're going to go out there and ask some questions, get some video, and figure out just what they're thinking about this country. It's always fun to kind of crack open the lid on the liberal mind and see what goes on in that
bucket. I've come to the conclusion that TDS is absolutely incurable.
Well, we're going to go find out. So I think I'll be at the Capitol asking a few questions, getting a little video and see what happens with that. But so the No Kings March 2.0 is happening around the country at various places. And so, it's Halloween come early, right? Dress up in your favorite rainbow and whatever.
Like I say, the liberal ghouls will be out in force looking for handouts.
Yeah, and you want to have some fun? If you have an No Kings rally in your area, go to it and walk up to people who have the signs that say no fascists or end fascism. Just ask them what the word means.
See, we don't have any kings up here. We have nothing but poor people when 25% are on welfare. So we can't have a No Kings rally. There are no kings.
I guess it's a catchy phrase for them, but we don't have, there's no kings. There's no, yeah, I don't know what their thinking is, but it's quite the spectacle anyway. Maybe I'll take some of my money and go and buy a communist manifesto because they only sell those.
Yeah, I might have a copy of Mayo's if you want to read that.
Well, the sad part about reading those things is you read those and they're roadmaps to totalitarianism, and you're just surprised at just how far along that road we are, because, you know, they want public education, they want wokeism in schools, critical race theory, they want all these teachings that we've already been doing, and we're like, we're almost there.
Oh yeah, no question.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about what they've done with our education system for the past six decades. It's mm-hmm. really scary. But I will say one thing. We are seeing a change. I think that the Charlie Kirk advent has really moved things forward. And I do believe that these younger people are finally understanding that all of this college baloney and this huge tuition they've been paying are not going to help them very much, except maybe being the baristas down at Starbucks. And I hear they got some new coffee down there, but they're going to have to learn the technology for that.
It's true. It's true. So, yeah. In the meantime, Idaho Freedom Foundation, we're doing our normal work with, you know, legislative accountability and governor accountability. We've found by accident, you know, we got a few complaints on some local government happenings in Bannock County about the Department of Health and Welfare, and it's circling around the legislature to do its child care grants. And we started doing some corruption stories, you know, how
that should be easy to find. There's plenty of it going on.
Yeah. Waste, fraud, and abuse. And so we found ourselves not just whelmed, but overwhelmed with accounts of government out of control. So we have a new policy director, Rachel Hayslip, and she's been kind of spearheading this local government accountability. We put on our website, we have a new page that's called our local government page. So if you go to idahofreedom.org, one of the tabs across the top is local government. And it's a great resource for you clicking on the map and finding your county or your city, and it has links to your county and city websites. You can find the DMV, you can find all that stuff. Down below, you can have links to all our accounts of city governments and county governments gone awry. And we have resources there how you can be a watchdog for your local government, how to get engaged in your city council and school board meetings. And also at the bottom is we have what we call an accountability report, where citizens can go on there, leave us their name and email and phone number, write down the government entity that they are reporting on and where it is, and write incidents where a government has acted outside its bounds, where there's maybe some evident corruption or malfeasance or misappropriation or government just not acting in good faith. And so we have that website. We launched it last week and, you know, did a email and some social media on it. And within a week, she's been overwhelmed. We have 56 reports of different communities or local governments, citizens reporting on their local governments about things that they're doing to them.
You mean like the Ford Center being given away gratis?
That's one. That's one.
I would think so.
And how did that get decided?
First of all, that was a mayor who's not going to run for office, so she doesn't care. And it was a group of these, I don't know, I guess they were elected officials for the city council who made this dumb move. You know, CWI doesn't even know if they can pay for this thing on an annualized basis. This is a joke.
And so, it's kind of funny. I was just flipping around my Facebook the other day, and I saw that NAMPA is, you know, they're all excited about the new water tower they have. I just left a comment on there. I'm like, watch out for that water tower. CWI already has its eyes on it.
I love it. I love it. You know, is it any worse than the people in Caldwell and the mayor out there with his group that are spending $400,000 for a quiet zone?
What?
Oh yeah. Yeah, they don't want to fund the Caldwell shelter for animals, but they're going to put $400,000 into a quiet zone so they can put up their Marriott hotel on that empty lot.
Okay. Well, I guess you can do that. I don't know. It just seems like a waste of money to me, but that's just me. You know, there's this principle in public economics, public policy about NIMBY, not in my backyard stuff.
Yep.
And nobody wants stuff affecting them, you know, put in their backyard. But it's amazing how if you listen to everybody that said that, nothing would ever get done.
Well, I'll tell you, we ran into a little problem up here. Some guy wanted to put in a trailer park on a 6-acre lot that happened to be in a FEMA flood zone without any sewerage. No sewerage. Electric and water.
I have just one more topic for you, if you don't mind.
Let's go.
Last week, I had the honor of speaking at Twin Falls Republican Central Committee. They asked me if I would come and talk about the grocery tax repeal movement that citizens are doing, and talk about just the principle of repealing the grocery tax. And then I found out, and I accepted. I'm like, yeah, happy to do it. Then I found out that they'd asked somebody to debate, argue, or present on the other side on why we should keep the grocery tax. And it was Lieutenant Governor Scott Betke. I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go and have that chat. And so we did.
How'd it turn out?
I thought... Actually, I was surprised. I was surprised at his lack of preparation and his lack of concrete reasons for why a grocery tax is needed in Idaho. And basically, it came down to this, that those who argue to keep the grocery tax in place are doing it for one reason. They want to maintain more money for the government. And those who want to repeal it want more money for Idaho families. It's money for government, versus money for families. And every argument comes down to that, because they'll give out this red herring argument that, well, we need to have the grocery tax in place. Citizens will get a credit, but tourists will come and pay the tax and they won't get a credit. So do you
tourists see only account for $19 million a year, Russ?
Oh, it's, yeah, at most, at most. And by the way, that doesn't even account for the loss of Idaho dollars that leave the state when other states don't have a tax, but we do. So, but anyway, that argument itself is we want more money for government, whether it comes from tourists or whatever, and less money for families, because they know that the tax credit does not fully compensate families for what they pay in taxes. It's different by about $150 million.
And what do you think they do with that $150 million? It's a slush fund.
Slush fund. Well, they spend it on all sorts of things. And so every argument they had was, we want more money for government. It's the only tax that illegals pay. And first of all, it's not. They pay gas taxes. They pay other taxes. They pay sales taxes on other things, not just groceries. But why do we want to have this whole tax policy structure in place just to get monies from illegals? Illegals shouldn't even be here.
We exactly.
Should government reliant on them at all? Because if government is reliant on illegal tax revenues, do you think government is ever going to really take the steps to turn off the magnet that brings illegals here in the beginning with? No, if government relies on them for part of its revenue, government will never do anything to fix the problem.
Well, tell me, what are they actually doing to get rid of the illegals in Idaho? I haven't seen any action up here.
Well, we finally, Idaho Freedom Foundation pushed this bill that illegals cannot get public assistance. We did that. It wasn't coming from the governor's office, but we pushed that and got that done. And there's other things we need to do that those here illegally should not be partaking in public education because they're not paying for it. And so they shouldn't be here legally to begin with. They should come through the normal immigration process. We should make that as efficient as possible so people can come here if they wish to through the front door, not the back door.
Can I ask you a question? Because you are up on this stuff. Where does it stand on the school choice? Are they still going through a court process on this, or has that finally been resolved and we are going to just have what we have?
Well, the court case is out there, so it's still in action, so to speak. But all the steps for the program are in place, so families can go and sign on to school choice. So there's, I forget the website name. It might be School Choice Idaho or something like that. That you can go and sign up for the education tax credit, and you can exercise your school choice. If you don't enroll your kids in public schools, you're eligible for this tax credit. Those with lower incomes are put at the front of the line, but we hope that as many kids as possible, as many families as possible, can sign up for that and choose options that best fit their kids' education needs rather than the off-the-shelf thing that has usually been forced on them with public schools, where we spend oodles of money and get 32% proficiency as a result.
So you said we have a $46 million deficit that you're looking at. By the same token, the amount of kids that, if they all, 10,000 of them, actually take the school choice program, they're going to save $50 million by not having those kids go to public schools. So why do we have a deficit?
That's right. I mean, every kid that exercises school choice, yeah, their family gets a tax credit, but that takes burden off the public schools, right? So right. Without changing the public school funding whatsoever, that leaves more money per kid in the public school system. But I think over time, it ought to take away money from public schools. If people sign up for it and there's $50 million that went to school choice, that should be $50 million less for public education, and those kids will still be just fine. And it doesn't do a burden on the budget whatsoever.
Well, I'll tell you, I think this state has been slowly but surely heading down the road to perdition when it comes to spending money. And I am upset. I can't tell you how much, because I see what goes on up here. I sit on the budget committee of our HOA, and I'm upset with what they're doing too, because they never saw another little thing that they wanted to buy or put in that they didn't like. So I'm not a good person for them here, to be very honest with you.
Do you have a fountain at the entrance to your HOA?
No, we just put a brand new sign up for $20,000. So, yes, we have a problem up here also. But I did at least keep the fees where they were last year, this year. And they're going to have a big problem with me next year, because if they don't fix the problems around here that, according to our CCNRs, need to be fixed, they're going to find a few lawsuits on their front desk. Because I don't mess around with this stuff anymore. And I think that's what needs to happen with our state, Ron. We need to. What are they going to do when the government not only cuts this year, but what are they going to do when they cut in 2027 and in 2028? I mean, this is where Trump is going.
Yeah. Watch out. They're going to ask. Not only are they going to reject any notion of tax cuts, they're going to find a way to increase taxes without calling it an increase. And so that is why you need the Idaho Pulse and the Idaho Freedom Foundation working together, working hard to inform citizens what's really happening. Government created this problem, but government will want the citizens to pay for it.
I got another question for you. Michael Boren, who's a billionaire, has a pretty big tract of land up here, was just given a job of the head of the Forest Service. How do you feel about that? Because I have my own opinions.
I don't know well enough the issues there or anything like that. I didn't even know about land holdings or anything. So I'm uninformed on that. I don't know. Bob.
Well, I will tell you, it has to do better than what we've had lately, because the people who have been running the Forest Service have run it right into the ground. And, you know, we're in a wildfire zone up here. So many people have had their insurance canceled. They can't even sell their houses.
Well, log it or watch it burn.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. That's where I go.
You know, it's as basic as chicken farming. You know, in chicken farming, you always have these choices. You can harvest the chickens and sell them for meat, right? Poultry. Right. You can have them lay eggs and you can sell the eggs, or you can have them lay eggs and create future chickens. And so chicken farmers are always doing this balancing act of how many eggs go to new chickens. They don't want to destroy their chicken farm. They don't want to sell so many chickens or sell so many eggs that they're not replenishing the population. They become experts at regeneration and the biology and the replenishment of that resource while still generating income from it. I think loggers are the same way, that there's no interest in a timber company totally wiping out its resource. They manage it, and they manage it much better than a federal government who all they want to do is say no. And therefore, they just create this tinderbox of explosive energy that when a fire comes, it gets wiped out anyway. I'd rather it get wiped out through home building than through a fire. And by the way,
I would wipe it out
because they replant.
I prefer to have the chicken farmers run the Forest Service.
Yeah. And so, you know, some of the smartest people I know are these managers of farms and ranches and timber operations, because they're always doing this, gosh, high engineering level of calculations. And sometimes it's just through their experience and their gut check that they know how to do it. But they are masters at their craft.
You know, it's funny. We don't have a lot of masters around anymore. When I was a risk manager, I had $100 million to play with. And I had to make sure that I always had as much in the short side as I had on the long side. Because if you don't have that managed properly, you lose a lot of money. But it's no different with anything else. Chicken farming or forestry, no matter what it is, running a grocery store. You have to watch your inventory.
Of course. Yeah. Chicken farmer knows this. Yeah. It's cool. Well, I understand big things are in the future for Idaho Pulse. I'm excited to be part of it. It's great to be on your show every week, and I'm happy to contribute and do everything to help make the Idaho Pulse be successful.
Well, we're going to start doing some advertising very shortly, and you'll hear it on the Kevin Miller Show. You'll hear it on one of our other partners who's got his own show on KIDO. So we are going to be pushing this out there. We hope you'll do the same thing on your end.
Be awesome. Cool. You just let me know when we get close. I'll have my comms director help get the word out about our involvement, too.
Thank you very much, Ron. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, team.
Have a great one. Have a great day. Mm-hmm.
Guns and those who dig.